The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey Bengals fans, Anthony Cazenza with CincyJungle.com and the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. Week 17 is in the books. The 2020 season is in the books. Not exactly the way that the Cincinnati Bengals wanted to ring in the new year. And they bring their old foe to town, the Baltimore Ravens, and get shellacked to the tune of 38-3. The Baltimore Ravens sat many of their starters by the time the fourth quarter commenced. And the Bengals were completely outmatched throughout this entire game, and they end the season 4-11-1. So, look, Baltimore's in the playoffs now. They finished the season 11-5 earlier today as well. Cleveland beat Pittsburgh, so they are in, and Pittsburgh already won the division. So now you got three AFC North teams of the seven total teams making the playoffs in the AFC. They're all coming from the AFC, of course. The lone one not making the playoffs are our Cincinnati Bengals. They finish 4-11-1, as I said, and now there appears to be more questions than answers. This was a thorough dominating domination by the Baltimore Ravens. Just a thorough domination today by the Baltimore Ravens. Usually I get to the stats later. We're going to do the stats first, and then we're going to get to some talking points after at the back end of the show, and we'll end it there. Again, I'm Anthony Cazenza with CincyJungle.com. Happy to have all of you with us, whether you're joining us on our Twitter account at BengalsOBI, live on Cincy Jungle's Facebook page, or on our Orange and Black Insider YouTube account. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you had a safe, happy, healthy new year. Hope things are better ahead for sure. But, you know, at least in terms of the Bengals and what happened for us in 2020. But hope you all had a good New Year's. Let's get to some stats and all of that good stuff before we get to some talking points, rumors, etc. This is the score page from NFL.com, and here are some stats. If you look to the right side of the screen here that I'm sharing, Lamar Jackson only threw 18 passes, guys. 10 of 18, 113 yards, three touchdowns. He did have the interception. Akeem Davis Gaither grabbed his first interception of his career, and then you had Tyler Huntley come in, throw just one pass completed for 8 yards. A lot of running. And this, you know, I know we love passing the ball. I know it's a passing league. I know the Bengals just drafted Joe Burrow. But this time of year in this division where all of the venues are outside in the AFC North, the weather's not so great, there is value to running the football. And I think the Baltimore Ravens really taught everybody a lesson about that today. There is value in running the football. I know the Bengals are a lesser opponent. I know they're banged up, but I mean, they came in and absolutely ran the ball down the Bengals' throats, so much so, in fact, that it was the most rushing yards ever given up by a Cincinnati Bengals defense, and the fourth most, if you saw that graphic on the telecast today, the fourth most rushing yards given up by any defense since 1950 in NFL history. So a historic performance by the Baltimore Ravens rushing attack, or the Bengals defense, depending on how you want to look at that one. J.K. Dobbins, have a day. 13 carries, 160 yards, two touchdowns, a 12.3 yards per carry average. Had no answers for him. Bengals defense had no answers for the RPO game that Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore offense was throwing at him. No answers for the option game. You see Lamar Jackson almost had 100 yards on the ground himself, 11 carries, 97 yards, close to 9 yards per carry. A maddening, maddening day trying to cover him and corral him, and not a great day by the Cincinnati Bengals defense after having such a great day the first time. Only held him to 2 rushing yards, I believe, in that first go-around, 97 yards today. So Gus Edwards, another 5 yards per carry, 12 carries, 60 yards. Mark Ingram, 9 carries, 39 yards, 4.5 yards per carry for him, basically. Devin Duvernay, 22 yards on an end around. And Justice Hill having 21 yards on 2 carries. So they absolutely ran the ball down the Bengals' throats. And then, look, I mean, there's just a lot of pedestrian work in the receiving game by the Baltimore Ravens. Nobody over 43 yards receiving, because they didn't have to. They didn't have to. And then, of course, you see Marquise Hollywood Brown there getting the two touchdown catches from Lamar Jackson. Rough day for Brandon Allen after having a career day. The FedEx Air Player of the Week last week absolutely fell on his face this week. 2 interceptions, you see that. Look at all the passes defended. I mean, there was just contested ball after contested ball. And there's 8 passes defended that I'm counting, by the way, by these players listed there. So, you know, just a rough day, and nothing was really as ugly as the floater interception that he threw to a wide, that should have been to a wide open AJ Green when the game was well out of control. You know, just an ugly game and an ugly performance by the Cincinnati Bengals. Offense, defense, even special teams didn't, you know, Kevin Huber shanked a punt. They didn't do much in the return game. We'll talk more about that. You know, the sacks weren't really an issue this time around. We know that the Baltimore Ravens kind of have an issue of rushing the passer without blitzing a lot of players. That's what got Joe Burrow into trouble the first time. You know, they blitzed a lot of players, and that they were able to do that. But, you know, Brandon Allen was able to escape a lot of pressure today, but, you know, he was running around and wasn't able to make the plays that he had been making in his previous starts. So, let's look here at the Bengals side of things. Brandon Allen finishes the day 6 of 21 for 48 yards and 2 interceptions. So now, and this will be a theme that we'll talk about in a few minutes, but these are some of the things now where you started to feel good about progress that had been made, both as a team, as the coaching staff, as individual players, etc. You started to feel good about some things heading into 21, and now you have a performance like this, and old questions you had 3 weeks, a month ago, are now resurfacing. So this performance here, I think we were all very comfortable with Brandon Allen having the leg up on the backup quarterback job going into 21. And then you see a performance like this in the division. And I mean, I know T. Higgins left the game, but I mean, 6 of 21 for 48 yards and 2 interceptions. That's just an unacceptable performance. It really is. Not all of his fault, but, you know, I mean, there were some bad throws and poor decisions there. Trevion Williams had the one big run for 4 carries, 74 yards. Samaje Perine, you know, decent, but, I mean, the game was just so out of control for a while. Tyler Boyd had a nice end around there. You know, Gio Bernard, three carries for 7 yards. That's not doing it. So just an abysmal day on offense here. You can see here, nobody, if it was bad, if it looked pedestrian in terms of nobody eclipsing 43 yards on the Baltimore side of things, check out the Bengals side of things on the receiving end, 21 yards by Seathan Carter. That is your team leader. In terms of catches, 2 catches by Drew Sample was the most receptions by a Bengals player. And just an absolutely abysmal performance by the Bengals. Only 4 passes defended, and you did have the interception by Davis Gaither that I mentioned earlier. Nice play by him off a tip. I think it was Marcus Hunt who tipped that to him. So Marcus Hunt continues to have a nice little year for the Bengals in kind of an emergency situation, and they've moved him around a lot on the defensive line, and he's done pretty well. Josh Bynes had a couple of nice plays today, but overall tackling was atrocious. Once again, the Bengals had just made all kinds of business decisions, I guess, on defense. They did not want to have any part of tackling anybody carrying the ball on the Baltimore Ravens side of things. So, you know, a lot of tackles by Cincinnati Bengals defenders, but not a lot of impactful plays. As you can see, 38-3, and you know, things really kind of derailed at halftime once the Bengals got the ball, but to start the half, and then, you know, they just allowed points, just points upon points by the Baltimore Ravens. Let's go here. This is some more team stats, and this is just to share the love. We're gonna pull up the ESPN page. This says a lot, folks. Look at the first downs, 24 by the Baltimore Ravens, 10 by the Cincinnati Bengals today. Third down efficiency, Baltimore was 11 of 17 and 1 of 2 on fourth down. The Bengals were 1 of 9 on third downs today. 1 of 9. Total plays, 73 total plays by the Baltimore Ravens, 40 for the Cincinnati Bengals. Almost doubled them up. Total yards, look at this one. 525 yards by the Baltimore Ravens to the Bengals, 195. This is 90s-esque, guys. This is 1990s, lost decade type of stuff that we're seeing here. Same amount of drives, which is interesting. Look at the yards per play, 7.2. by the Baltimore Ravens, 4.9 by the Cincinnati Bengals. And then the passing yards, 121-48. I mean, that wasn't the tail of the tape. Here's what it was. The 404, 404 yards of rushing yards on the ground by the Baltimore Ravens to the Bengals, 147. 404 yards. Unbelievable. As I said, fourth most in NFL history since 1950 that a defense has allowed, and the most in Bengals franchise history that they have allowed. So look at the yards. Interestingly, look at the yards per rush, 7.5 to 7.7. The Bengals actually averaged more yards per run, but on far less. Look at this, 54 attempts for 404 yards. Absolutely ran the ball down the Bengals' throats. And then they were successful on 3 of 4 red zone tries. The Bengals 0 for 1 in that unbelievable interception that Brandon Allen threw to A.J. Green. Penalties, Baltimore actually had more, 6 for 49. Bengals were pretty clean on that side, 3 for 29. But, you know, they lost the turnover battle, didn't get after the quarterback. And then here we go at the bottom here, the time of possession, 40 minutes and 31 seconds for the Baltimore Ravens to the Bengals, 19 minutes and 29 seconds. Absolute domination by the Baltimore Ravens. So now we sit here and we go, what's next, right? I guess we could talk about the guy whose jersey I'm wearing, and just a really sad day in a lot of different respects. Most likely, in all likelihood, A.J. Green's last day as a Cincinnati Bengal, last game as a Cincinnati Bengal, didn't have an effect because of the quarterback play and because of the defense. You know, he was 2 touchdowns away from breaking the team record. He was a little bit of yardage away from breaking that. So that didn't happen this week. The yardage one was probably unrealistic, but if I remember correctly. But the touchdown one, you know, if he had a nice day, you would think an A.J. Green in years past getting 2 touchdowns against the Baltimore Ravens was almost a foregone conclusion. So, you know, you kind of hoped that maybe he would get a franchise record on his probable way out of Cincinnati. You had T. Higgins coming into this, needed one catch and needed about 90 some yards, which he had been kind of around that yardage amount over the past handful of games to set some rookie marks for the Bengals, get himself a 1,000 yard season, set the franchise mark for catches. He gets hurt right away, and it was on a big play. There was a penalty on Mike Thomas. So he goes down with a hamstring tweak, doesn't play the rest of the game. The little things. We didn't even get the little things. Even, you know, a win would have been a big thing, but we didn't even get the little things, the little milestones that we were looking for. And then, you know, you've got others that probably aren't going to be here next year. Geno Atkins, you know, and some others. So, you know, even the little milestones that we were kind of clinging to kind of feel good about things going into 21, they didn't occur today, which was just a shame, just an absolute shame. That's kind of all there is to say about that. I will say, if we're going to kind of talk about AJ Green and move on, hell of a Bengals career by AJ Green. I know the last few years have been frustrating for him, for the team, and for fans because of all the injuries. He can't really help that stuff. I know this year was just – it was just kind of a shame how everything played out this year. You kind of – granted, he was healthy the entire season, but there were times you wondered if he was a little tentative. There were times if he had injuries kind of in the back of his mind. There was a lot of bad plays that he could have made and poor throws by Joe Burrow, by Brandon Allen, by Ryan Finley. He could have had some nice statistical games if not for some bad throws and other bad moments. And then, you know, just he kind of still bracketed coverage at times. So, you know, it would be nice if there was a niche that both sides could agree to and feel that he could come back and be productive for the Bengals. But it just seems as if he's going to move on elsewhere based on everything here. Now, so moving on from AJ Green, hell of a Bengals career, number 18. Thank you for everything you did for the Cincinnati Bengals. If it is indeed the last time we see you in stripes, I think Bengals fans everywhere can appreciate what AJ Green did. And I think his former quarterback, Andy Dalton, could attest to that. I think he knows that AJ Green really helped Andy Dalton out in his own pretty good Bengals career as well. So if it is the last time we see AJ, thank you for everything in your years with the Cincinnati Bengals. You were a star as other preceding receivers. You took the baton, man.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Let's talk about the coaches. Let's transition and talk about the coaches, because coming into this week, at least Jesse of The Athletic dropped a report late this week saying, you know, there's going to be some shakeups. Basically, the front office kind of sounded like they forced Zach Taylor's hand and saying, if you're going to, we're going to keep you, we have faith in you, but you got to get rid of some of these guys. We gave you free rein to bring in quote unquote your guys, and they're not cutting the mustard. And it sounded like it was going to be Jim Turner, sounded like it was going to be Nick Eason, and it sounded maybe a couple of other, you know, lower assistants in there. Darren Simmons appeared to be safe, Lou Anarumo. His name wasn't mentioned, though, you know, people wondered. And, of course, it sounded like Zach Taylor was going to be retained, at least in kind of a prove-it year in 21. Now, with this performance, here's the thing, okay? I think all of us, or a lot of us, that said the thing that was going to keep Zach Taylor around, the thing that was going to keep Lou Anarumo around in 21 was the effort level that we saw in these past two wins against Houston and against Pittsburgh. The attitude, the playing hard for the coaches, no quitting, the fire, all of that kind of stuff. We kind of felt like, hey, you know, these guys are still playing. It's a depleted roster because of injuries, because of COVID, because of all kinds of things. We know that it's been a challenging first two off seasons for Zach Taylor and his coaching staff. We know all of that. But, you know, we kind of felt like, you know, these two wins, maybe they're turning a corner. You're hopefully going to get Joe Burrow back in week one. And then here you go. You know, it may take a little bit for him to kind of get back up to speed because of his injury. But you were hoping to feel a little bit better, maybe a squeak out a win here against Baltimore. And then, you know, you're really feeling good about some things. Well, this was an absolute just 180 from the performances that we saw the past 2 weeks. Absolute 180. And, you know, the effort level wasn't there. The willingness to tackle was not there on defense. The execution wasn't there. even some of the game plans and the play calls. I think there was a 4th-and-1 where the Bengals could have, you know, you're 4-10-1, and Zach Taylor goes for a field goal, which ended up being the team's only points. And that's it. I mean, you didn't go for it on a 4-10-1 record. Probably could have or should have. And I mean, I don't know. So there's a lot of questions now. The defensive coordinators unit gave up the most rushing yards in franchise history. And as I mentioned a couple times now, one of the most ever in NFL history, at least since dating back to 1950. So what's next? Well, I know a lot of you, or some of you, aren't the biggest fans of this gentleman for a variety of reasons. But here is Mike Florio. I apologize for the video making some noise there. Here, this is from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. Will the Bengals bring back Zach Taylor? This is as of a quarter to four Eastern. So this was before the end whistle of the game. So if you see here, there are coaching jobs that are wide open. This was an interesting one. In Cincinnati, a definite, quote, we'll see vibe has emerged this weekend. Although NFL media has reported that Zach Taylor is expected to return, there's a rumor making rounds that Taylor could be out. He's going to finish his second season with a record of 6-25-1, and on his watch, rookie quarterback Joe Burrow was battered and bruised before suffering a serious knee injury. To the extent that the Bengals entered today's game undecided about Taylor, the team did little to save Taylor. Working in Taylor's favor is the Bengals have a long history of not paying coaches to not work. Marvin Lewis was an example, and this would be the case for Zach Taylor if they let him go after this year. Working against Taylor is the possibility of reuniting Burrow with former LSU offensive coordinator Joe Brady, who currently serves as offensive coordinator in Carolina. The Bengals may need to move now or risk seeing Brady get serious consideration for a head coaching job elsewhere. So this could be nothing more than, you know, Florio kind of spinning some wheels, but he seems to have some sources in league circles, whatever that may mean, that this performance today may call things into question for Zach Taylor. I don't know how much I believe that based on some other things that we've been seeing, but I thought it was very, 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 very interesting about what was said in that piece. Now, I tend to think that Zach Taylor will be back. I do think that he will be back, and I think that the team will probably point to the two previous wins as a reason why there's probably going to be a short leash and a hot seat. And what's going to happen is the Bengals are going to be pulling in the reins of probably freedom of decisions that they gave Zach Taylor. You know, they kind of gave him the keys to the castle in terms of hires and how he was going to navigate the draft and all that kind of stuff. I know Duke Tobin and the Blackburns have, you know, major say in that too, but they kind of gave him the keys to the castle, and it's netted 6 wins and a tie in 2 seasons. So I foresee Zach Taylor being back despite what Pro Football Talk is saying. I just thought that was an interesting piece and something for Bengals fans to at least know about, that it's floating out there among the great reports by Elise Jesse and others that are out there. And by the way, I think I said Elise Jesse's with the Athletic. She's with Sports Illustrated and the All Bengals crew. So I apologize if I misspoke there. But at any rate, that one is floating out there. And I think we know Jim Turner is going to be gone. I think we know, you know, a couple of these other assistants that are going to be gone. So the big conversation now, if you don't believe that Pro Football Talk about report about Zach Taylor, I think the big talk now is what's happening with Lou Anarumo, because this, for me, he's a hard coordinator to gauge. There are a couple of performances like the one the first time around, where the Bengals lost 27-3, but 7 of those points in Baltimore, 7 of those points came on a defensive return for touchdown, and the Bengals held Lamar Jackson to about 2 yards rushing. But in the other performances against Baltimore, the Bengals defense has been an absolute joke. Flip side, you look at the Pittsburgh game. Bengals defense was outstanding that game on Monday, on primetime television, Monday night. Last week in Houston, they weren't that great against the run, though, and they let Deshaun Watson kind of have his way. So there's a lot of this, but also that. This, but also that, when you want to argue for or against Lou Anarumo. I think part of what also needs to be entered into that discussion is the whole Carlos Dunlap saga and how that whole thing played out. I'd like to think that there are other veterans in that locker room that don't feel the same way that Carlos Dunlap and Lou Anarumo did. There was obvious headbutting there, but who knows? Who knows? We're not privy to that. So, I think there's going to have to be some real long discussions by the Bengals' internal operations to figure out what they're going to do. If they're going to commit to Zach Taylor, there needs to be a pretty wide shakeup of the coaching staff, I think, because there are performances here that are just unacceptable. And it's not just Lou Anarumo's defense either. I mean, guys, I don't know if this is probably Zach Taylor and Brian Callahan, but the Bengals have scored 6 points in two games against Baltimore this year. 6 total points, 27-3 and 38-3. So, that's not even close. That's not even keeping things close and interesting. I know they beat Pittsburgh once of their 1-3 against them. I know they're 1-3 against Cleveland, but some of those were pretty ugly as well. So the question then is, who does Zach Taylor bring in for these spots? I think if you get rid of Lou Anarumo, I think Zach Taylor would be very, very wise, or the Bengals would be very, very wise to bring in a guy who is a longtime NFL coach, has had some track record of success as a coordinator, and is a veteran, maybe even has some head coaching experience, whether that's maybe a Mike Zimmer. I know Wade Phillips' name, everybody's throwing that one out. There are a lot of names out there that people like, but there needs to be some experience in some of these positions, these coaching positions for the Bengals. There needs to be some experience. This has been a young staff. They've kind of learned on the fly. I mentioned two very difficult off seasons. But you need to have some experience on this staff, and not the kind of experience that Jim Turner had. And I don't want to drag that guy through the mud, but I think we know there's a history there with Jim Turner and sorts of things. And I think Zach Taylor would be better served to have someone that he can lean on. McVay did it, right? He did it with Wade Phillips. I mean, a lot of young coaches do that. They bring in a guy, and it's not something that should rub their ego the wrong way. It should be a guy that they can, sound off on some issues or ask questions to about when they were a head coach, that sort of thing. There should be a synergy and a relationship there to help the football team. So I didn't bring up that Pro Football Talk report to totally, muddy the waters, but that report is out there, whether you want to believe it or not. I think the Bengals coming into this weekend were pretty dead set on keeping Zach Taylor and maybe even Lou Anarumo. Maybe it was the lower level assistants and some other guys that they were going to let go, position coaches, et cetera. And then you see a performance like this. If you're the Bengals ownership, maybe take a step back and say, whoa, did we decide on things a little too quickly here? I've said this a bunch of times on the air. I don't like to be the guy that calls for jobs or the guy that, pushes for people to get fired and all kinds of different stuff. But, there are some major issues and obvious issues in places that kind of repetitive places. The offensive line has been a problem for years, plural. The offense, because of the offensive line, has been really up and down. And then you got your franchise quarterback hurt this year. The defense, I would say, there's probably, four or five good solid defensive performances a year in Lou Anarumo's two seasons as defensive coordinator. And then the rest has been a lot of, you know, a lot of giving up points and all that kind of stuff. And then you can have the chicken or the egg conversation there. You know, is it poor offense that's forcing the defense back out on the field too soon? And then, you know, you go round and round. But the bottom line is the Bengals aren't rushing the passer well, even with all the injuries. They're not rushing the passer well. They don't force a lot of turnovers. That's been improved the past few weeks. But, you know, there's a lot of issues on defense. And I think a lot of us who watch this on a weekly basis can see it. We're going to get out of here in just a few minutes. Russ Blackthorne, no way. And Anthony should be the new coach. You don't want that, Russ. You do not want me to be the coach. I am thoroughly not qualified, but I appreciate, even if it was a funny one, I appreciate the compliment. Hey, this is awesome, Kyle. Thank you. Sucks that we suck, but you guys are the best in the job at Team Reporting. Bengals Nation is lucky. Hey, Kyle, that's awesome, man. I got to tell you, it's not, to be quite honest with you, taking the air. I love taking the air with co-hosts. You know, you get to kind of back and forth a little bit. Taking the air, going solo, especially when you're talking about six wins and a tie over the last two seasons. It's not easy, but I appreciate the compliment. Michael Flukas here. For a guy who is to be tutored by an offensive phenom and the Rams coach, he's not very imaginative when his offense is in play. Will he relinquish the play calling duties? What do you think? That's a great question and a great point, Michael. And there's one thing that I talked about on a different podcast somewhat recently. But if you look at how McVay's coaching staff is constructed and how Zach Taylor's coaching staff is constructed, there's some significant differences. And there are, for instance, if you remember back to when Zach Taylor was interviewing for the Bengals job, there was another young coach from the Rams that the Bengals were interested in. I believe they interviewed him as well. His name is Shane Waldron. He was the passing game coordinator under McVay. He's kind of moved around a little bit. They still have a run game coordinator and a passing game coordinator on the Rams staff. Go look up their website. You can see. Now, Zach Taylor's done a good job beefing up the Bengals coaching staff, and he's added some pieces there and some more staff pieces, but the Bengals are still underhanded in the scouting department. And, you know, I guess why I'm bringing this up and trying to answer Michael's question with that is, if you're going to emulate at least some of, or a good portion of, the Rams model, the McVay model that has been pretty successful, you don't have to emulate every single little thing, but I would think that there are some pretty critical areas that you want to try and copy. And I think that if having a passing game coordinator and a run game coordinator worked for the LA Rams and Sean McVay to get them to a Super Bowl, getting them potentially to the playoffs again this year, you know, I think that that's something you maybe look at. And I think also this is also kind of an ego thing. Zach Taylor probably needs to think about getting a different, if he doesn't trust Brian Callahan to call plays or to at least co-call plays or what have you, he needs to find someone that he can trust on that front. Because look, if you remember, if you listen to a podcast we did a while back, we talked to Tim McGee, who's a radio voice for the Bengals, and he does a lot of stuff, and he was obviously on their Super Bowl team. Very entertaining interview. I kind of asked a question basically is, you know, do you expect Marvin Lewis to be more successful elsewhere? Because he doesn't have to do all the things and manage so many different areas of a football team that a head coach normally doesn't have to manage around the NFL. And I think that Zach Taylor kind of came in, you know, young guy, hungry and ready to prove himself. And he's eager and he's ambitious. And he comes in and there's more on the plate to be a head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, at least from what we know and what we've heard, there's more on the plate. And when you're a first-time head coach, haven't even been a true NFL offensive coordinator, he was an interim guy. When you're a first-time NFL head coach, a young guy, haven't had a lot of experience in general coaching at the NFL level, you come in as a first-time head coach, you assume play calling duties, and then you're overseeing all the other areas of a football team, which is – what a lot of coaches do. But again, with the Bengals, there's just more. And go back and listen to that Tim McGee interview. He corroborates, you know, our theory on that. But, you know, there's just more to it. And I think that the play calling thing falls into, you know, just biting off a little more than he can chew right away. And, you know, I think that's something that also needs to be evaluated this offseason. I really do. Chris Risner, so who do we pick first? You know, I think the Bengals are still at number five. I should have done my homework before I took the air. I think they're still at number five there based on everything that played out. If someone wants to correct me there, we can take a look at that. But, you know, I think it totally depends on who is there based on this question from Chris. Totally depends on who is there. I think we'd all like to see Sewell. And this is what's funny, too, about the draft. Every single year, we hear it every single year. No way that guy's going to be there. No way. Absolutely no way. He's never going to be there. Don't even mock draft him. He's never going to be there. And lo and behold, every year. Now, it's not necessarily in the top five, but lo and behold, there are people that drop and fall in drafts, and fans don't know why. Other people don't know why. The ESPN and NFL Network talking heads don't know why. Remember Andrew Billings? He was mock drafted to the Bengals countless times in the first round. They got him in the fourth. So, I mean, that's just one example of many, many. So it's unlikely that Penei Sewell will make it to number five or outside the top five. But there's probably three quarterbacks that are going to be taken within that top five, maybe a corner, maybe a wide receiver. And all of a sudden, if you're the Bengals, you have Sewell sitting in your lap and you didn't think he'd be there. So I think if Sewell's there, you got to take that guy. I get a little hesitant because he didn't play this last year, but from what you saw in the previous 2 years as a very young player, he's exceptional. He is exceptional. So I think you take Sewell, but this team, now we talked about AJ Green. Look, AJ Green's set to be a free agent. John Ross is set to be a free agent. Mike Thomas is set to be a free agent. And Alex Erickson is set to be a free agent. That's four wide receivers. So whether it's Kyle Pitts as kind of that flex hybrid, you know, freak athlete playing tight end, whether you get that guy as a pass catching option, or, you know, you wait till round two again, top of round two, top of round three for more options. This team's going to need pass catchers, and they're going to need talent. You'll have Boyd. You'll have Auden Tate back. You know, you got T. Higgins coming back after a really good rookie season from him. And, you know, you're going to need to restock that cabinet. And I got to tell you, I love Alex Erickson's story and, you know, undrafted guy and played a lot of years for the Bengals. But, you know, I kind of have seen enough from the punt return stuff. And I think, you know, I think he's replaceable is what I'm saying. Like the guy, good character guy, you know, done a lot of good things for this team and was a really good story a handful of years ago when he made it. But, you know, I think you need to restock that cabinet, so to speak. So those are some areas to look. But, I mean, again, edge rusher, you got to bring pressure and you got to bolster your offensive line. Those are two areas of critical need for any football team, and the Bengals seem to need that. And also a sneaky need that not a lot of people are talking about is interior defensive line. We talked about Geno Atkins maybe moving on. Josh Tupou didn't play this year. We don't know what's going on with Christian Covington, Margus Hunt, if they're going to come back, all that kind of stuff. So the Bengals, Mike Daniels is on a one-year deal. He played pretty well. I would assume they'd like to have him back. He seems to like Cincinnati. So defensive interior has to be in the discussion as well, probably by day two, maybe in that, you know, where they love to get interior defensive linemen in the fourth round. So maybe that's where they look for some of those. But they're going to need some help there too. So that's kind of where I would look. I'm going to get out of here, guys. I said I was going to keep it short. I do this all the time. I'm going to keep this one short. And here I go, almost 40 minutes. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in, not only this week, but for every single week that you tune in. I know this hasn't been a great Bengals season. And, hey, sometimes we give opinions or whatever that you guys don't agree with. Or some people accuse me on Twitter of hate, quote-unquote, hate watching the Bengals. I like that. That was funny. So maybe our Twitter accounts aren't up to your taste all the time or what have you. But guys, I got to tell you this before we get out of here for the final post game show of the year. We've had literally between the postgame shows and Orange and Black Insider, Orange is the New Black. We've had millions of views this year on our Facebook page, on our YouTube pages, all of that. Millions because of you guys. We've had hundreds of thousands of audio downloads throughout the year through multiple platforms. And it's just flattering. It really is flattering that you guys tune in and keep it to us. We try and be consistent. We try and give you a lot of material, and we hope you enjoy it. So just from me and the rest of the gang at Cincy Jungle, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for supporting our programs. Thank you for keeping it to the website. We are one of, even though the Bengals haven't been very good and they're not one of the most popular teams in the NFL, Cincy Jungle performs as one of the best websites and one of the best podcast channels within the SB Nation network. So that's because of you guys, and we appreciate that. We appreciate that a bunch. And I hope that you all have a great new year. 21's going to be it, guys. We're going to turn the corner in 21. I promise. And by the way, this isn't, because I'm thanking you, this isn't telling you that we're not going to bring you more material. We've got a ton of material, a ton of guests, and all kinds of stuff. We're going to be better this year than we were already in 2020. And it was a great year for us. So stick with us. We appreciate it. Bengals lose 38-3 to the Baltimore Ravens in week 17. They finished the season 4-11-1. They have a top pick in next year's draft. We'll see what happens with the coaching changes. You'll probably be hearing from us this week with some of that news too. So take it easy, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you soon.